Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI.
I'm Sasha Pfeiffer in for Robin Young. It's Here and Now. Irene is focusing her aim on the eastern seaboard today. The outer bands of the hurricane have already started bringing rain to the Carolinas. It's a massive storm, and it's threatening 65 million people from North Carolina to New England. President Obama says all indications suggest that Irene will be a storm of historic proportions. States of emergency have been declared for North Carolina, Maryland, and other states. In New Jersey, tens of thousands of vacationers and residents have begun what's described as the state's biggest evacuation ever. Utilities are bracing for strong winds, heavy rains, and floods that could cause long-lasting power outages for millions of customers. And oil refineries along the coast are starting to turn off their equipment. The shutdowns are already boosting gasoline prices. Paul Flaherty is a flight meteorologist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Aircraft Operations Center at MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa, Florida. He's one of the hurricane hunters, people who fly into the eye of a storm. Paul, you flew into Irene the other day. Today you're in your operations center, and you've been in contact with one of your aircraft that's been gathering data inside the hurricane. Conditions may change, obviously, but what can you tell us about where this storm is expected to make landfall?
We know that the Outer Banks right now is really under the gun. We've had the evacuations going there now for more than a day. And right now, all indications are it's still going in that direction. From that point, there is still a little divergence in the models, but there's still also a lot of confidence as they have really been predicting the track almost right on up the coast this entire time. So really, everybody from the South Carolina, North Carolina border all the way up through New England right now needs to be expecting that their location will be the one that's hit.
And timing?
Well, I guess that depends on where you are, but we're really looking at Saturday through Sunday for most of the impacts for most of the East Coast.
Hurricanes are rated by categories. Is number 5 the top category?
That's correct.
What is this one right now?
They just actually, on the most recent update, downgraded it to a Category 2, so that's no longer a major hurricane. And they are still forecasting for it to re-intensify before reaching the Outer Banks, so that's important to note.
The retired director of the National Hurricane Center has said about Irene, and these are his words, "One of my greatest nightmares was having a major hurricane go up the whole northeast coast." Now, Paul Flaherty, that, of course, is exactly what this storm appears to be doing. The former director of the National Hurricane Center says he thinks the damages from the storm will likely be in the billions of dollars. Based on what you're seeing today from your aircraft, do you think that's an accurate prediction?
Well, it's certainly one that we need to be very wary of. And, of course, we want to say everything we can to make sure that people are aware of the devastation that this type of storm can cause. This storm jogs even 50 miles to the west, maybe on the large-scale forecast. That isn't very much, but to people on the ground, that is a huge difference in the result of that. One of the things that we're hoping for is with these types of storms that move up the east coast, most of the winds of precipitation tend to stay on the north and the east side. And we're hoping that as the next couple of flights go by, we will see that trend starting.
One of the tricky things about hurricanes is that we need to be on guard, but we don't want to pre-hype something that turns out not to be as serious as thought. You don't want to cry wolf, in a sense. What is your sense of how concerned people should be about this one?
Well, I think the best, from my own experience, I think that's the best way to tell people, you know, what your true feelings are. And before coming over here to study hurricanes here in Tampa with NOAA, I worked for the Department of Defense in Biloxi, Mississippi. So I had a home there in Biloxi on the north side of the bay, and I built the house myself, and it took on 14 feet of water when Hurricane Katrina came in. And if you look at the storm itself, it was very, very far from the areas in Biloxi. And that goes back to that small movement. If this storm were to move 50 miles one way or another, that puts the eastern eyewall, which is going to be the worst-case scenario, on a north-moving storm at a completely different location. And, you know, that can be the difference between someone's house staying and remaining. And so a very small wobble in the forecast is very difficult to predict, but we have to give everyone the warning of what could happen.
Paul Flaherty, when you gather data on hurricanes, you use two types of aircraft. One is the Gulfstream G4. This is a jet that flies around and above hurricanes. There's also the Orion P3. This one is a propeller plane that flies directly into the storm. We've watched videos of those flights, and one of our producers here described it as a roller coaster riding the clouds. You've been in that plane many times. What is it like to be inside it?
Well, I like that. I actually like that description. I hadn't really thought of it that way. You know, a lot of people think it's crazy being on the P3 and being in an aircraft that's bouncing around like that. But I always liken it to, you know, if you go to an amusement park, if you're on a roller coaster, you're expecting to have that kind of a ride. If you go on a Ferris wheel, you're not. So, you know, we are expecting to be involved in a lot of movement on that aircraft. So it doesn't really bother us all that much. But yeah, that's a pretty good description. Obviously, the P3 flies very low. We fly right through the eye wall. The flights we're doing right now are at 8,000 feet, which is extremely low for any aircraft.
Paul Flaherty, the kind of information you gather is humidity levels, air pressure levels. What's the practical use of that in terms of how it helps predict hurricanes or how it helps people on the ground prepare for hurricanes?
Well, it's twofold. One is we can give that real-time data, what we call operational data, to the National Hurricane Center forecasters and to the public. In that way, they can see exactly where the winds are, for example, are the strongest. We can see temperature gradients between the outside and the inside of the storm. A hurricane is a warm core system. The warmer it is compared to the outside of the storm temperature, we know that's a correlation to how strong it is as well. So all this data can be used to help the forecasters get a feel for how the storm may be changing. And on the other side of it is it's all research. There's still very much that we don't know about hurricanes and hurricane intensity especially, and that's a big part of the missions that we're out there flying right now is purposely to try to study using our tail Doppler radar and our drops-on observations in our step frequency microwave radiometer, which is checking wind speeds on the surface. We're using all this information so we can better understand how to forecast hurricanes in the future.
Paul, have you ever felt unsafe up there?
I never have. I'm a reactionary type person, so a lot of times it's once I'm on the ground and I kind of think about what we're doing or what just happened, or you know, a lot of times they'll be showing something like Irene where it's size, and you know they'll show it on the news that I'm watching once I get home, and I kind of sit back and say our plane is just a speck in that storm, and sometimes it dawns on me as it might be a little crazy what we're doing, but I do realize the importance of the data that we're collecting and gathering while are out there, and I've seen the effects of it. I've seen the number of people we've been able to evacuate in storms, and so I know we're doing it for the right reasons.
Paul Flaherty is a flight meteorologist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Aircraft Operations Center. He's been flying in and out of Hurricane Irene this week. And Paul, we understand you just earned your 100th eye patch. That's for 100 flights into hurricanes?
Yes, that's correct. With Irene, it'll always be the storm that I had my 100th eyewall penetration. So anytime we do keep records of it, and anytime an aircraft passes through the eyewall of a hurricane, everyone that's on that list gets credit for one hurricane penetration. Of course, we think we should get two because you have to get out the other side of the eyewall too, but it doesn't work that way. We just get the one.
Paul, congratulations, and thanks very much for talking with us.
You're welcome.